There was an article in the Wall Street Journal yesterday. It's online this morning, and it's about the finances of the royal family. Listen to this. In 1760, the British monarchy handed over revenue from large tracts of land to Parliament in return for an income from the government. So the family says, here's the land, but you need to give us a salary. Today, the taxpayer payment, known as the sovereign grant, covers the cost of royal duties and maintains several palaces, including Buckingham Palace. Last year, it came to $106 million. This is fixed as a proportion of the profits made by the lands. Some years, they increase the percentage that comes back to them. The Queen supplements this with two other sources of income, her personal wealth, which is not publicly disclosed, and the Duchy of Lancaster, founded in the 13th century, and that right now is worth $711 million. And as I understand it, $711 million. And as I understand it, then the Queen and the Prince say, all right, Harry, here's how much money we're going to give you this year. And it sounds a little arbitrary, but my understanding is last year he got a salary of $3 million. I'm not very good at this thing, as I said a moment ago, but you know, actually is pretty good at this thing, is Fred Weintraub, who co-hosts here in Chicago a podcast and a syndicated radio show called Gabby Road. You get it? Fred's on a line. Hey, Fred, it's John. You're on WGN Radio again. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well, John. How are you?
Pretty good. Now, that's my reading of the Wall Street Journal. What would you add to what I just said about the finances?
So what I would add to it is, first, that you don't have to have a tag day for Meghan and Harry, because in addition to the money that they get from the sovereign grant, from the money that they get from Prince Charles, they also have their own money because, remember, unfortunately, when Princess Diana died, Harry and William both inherited money. Well, Harry was 11 years old at that point, and that money got put into, you know, into financial investments, and which he could not touch until his 30th birthday. But the real money that comes to Harry and William, but more to Harry, is through this thing called Duchy of Cornwall, which is controlled by Prince Charles, and it's always controlled by the person who is next in line to the throne. So he has what I look at as this real estate portfolio that may generate £100 million a year, of which he takes the revenue, he takes part of that revenue, which is about $21 million per year, and he decides how he's going to use that. So that's basically his expense account that he uses for himself, that he uses for official travel, that he gives to William for his official business, and he gives to Harry. So the real question in my mind is, with Harry deciding that he and Meghan want to go in a different route, are they going to get punished, and is some of that money going to go away, and are they going to then have to make their own way in the world? Now, when you're Harry and you're the Duke of Sussex, you are one of the most popular royals in modern times. So just like the Gates Foundation or the Clinton Foundation, I don't think this whole story is really about the money, because they can make way more money by going out on their own. I think the real thing that people are concerned about and irritated about, and wouldn't it have been cool to be able to put your ear to the door to that meeting yesterday when the Queen, Prince Charles, William, and Harry all got together. And you can imagine, and my speculation from a royal watcher standpoint is that they weren't happy. You know, the Queen clearly at 93 wasn't happy. Prince Charles wasn't happy. And I don't think it's unhappiness about Harry and Meghan wanting to go a different way in life. I think it's all about how they did it, and did they do it in a respectful way. And we kind of all know in life, when people feel pressured and when they think that their world is falling apart, and clearly you never know if Meghan was having a meltdown, and if she was having a meltdown, and any of the stories are true that she went to Harry and said, I don't like this life. He was stuck between a rock and a hard place because he loves the UK. He wants to do the right thing for the country. He particularly loves the Queen, and he loves his wife. And so he's kind of screwed no matter which way he goes. And sometimes when you're in that emotional turmoil, you do the wrong thing. And
do you think he did the wrong
clearly,
thing? Do you
think I don't think they're doing the wrong thing in deciding, look, he's never going to be the king, or chances of him ever being the king. You and I have a better chance of becoming the king than he does. Mm-hmm. But when you're not in line to the throne, you have to find your own way in life, because it's not like a job that it's all laid out for you. You know what you're going to do. You know what you can, the amount of money you can generate for 30 years. So I don't think they're doing the wrong thing in branching out, but I think they clearly did the wrong thing and were disrespectful to both Harry's father, Prince Charles, and to the Queen. And the part that will never be known publicly is, did Meghan put a wedge between this family? You know, when she says, oh, I'm not sure this is what I signed up for you. Well, look at the other side. When they got married 2 years ago and her wedding was seen by billions of people on every network in every global country that you can watch it on, and you say, hey, fairy princess, you're on television and you're going to be a princess in the royal family. You don't decide a year or a year and a half later because it's tough that you don't want to do this. And P.S., the Queen gives them a house at Frogmore, which is very close to Windsor. Then the taxpayers pay a couple million dollars to help decorate it. Because, you know, when you're living in a $4 million house, you can't just go to your local Target, although there's nothing wrong with Target, and decorate it that way. And so you can't have your cake and eat it too. And I think they kind of want to do that.
So you said you wanted to be a fly on the wall when the Queen was expressing her dismay with the way they've handled this. There was an attorney that spoke for the Queen, among others, at that family meeting. We have the actual audio of that. And I think a question a lot of us have in our minds, and you're helping answer it, is, well, what is it that, you know, if you're Harry and you're trying to justify to the rest of the world, maybe you don't care, but a lot of us are wondering, you know, how is it that you get this money? Where does it come from? Here is that audio clip.
What would you say you do here?
Well, look, I already told you. I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
It's actual audio from that meeting. I don't know if you're aware of that. But so maybe then the emphasis is on the brothers, too, because if Harry will never be in line to be the king, but he does want to stay in good enough graces to still be invited to the trough, then he needs to, you know, not tick off his dad too much. His dad is bankrolling his lifestyle, and his brother would be in a position to cut him off down the road too, right?
Absolutely. And the brothers were, this part of the story is really sad, because the brothers were, William and Harry were so close, and especially after Diana died, and William had to kind of step up to the plate and take Harry under his wing and say things are going to be fine. And, you know, they had a really close relationship, and Kate had a close relationship with them. And now it seems like it's separated. Some of the stories that have come out in the press about William bullying them, I'm not sure that's so true. And, you know, when you look at the media in the UK, they take at times liberties in generating the stories that they want to generate. But you clearly don't want to make the person who holds the purse strings, which is Prince Charles at some point and Prince William at some point, you want to have a good relationship with them.
Right.
And there's, for all the, you know, for all the negativity about Harry doing stupid things in his life, which as a youngster and in college, yeah, he certainly didn't use good common sense at times. He's generated millions of dollars in charity money.
He also served in the military for his country. I forgive him some of his youthful indiscretions. I know there's some that were perplexing, but by and large, I think he's comported himself pretty well. Fred Weintraub is on a phone line. He's the co-host of Gabby Road, a podcast you can subscribe to, listen to every week. They talk about royal stuff. The whole world is gabbing about Abbey Road and royal stuff right now. We've got some phone calls for you, too. The number's 312-981-7200. You can call or text in. And, Fred, it's clear where you are on this, but if I may, I'll just say for the record that I'm on Team Meghan. I think, yeah, you signed up for that. It was a fantastic wedding, and you've been enjoying the riches of the family, but now you have a family of your own, and you don't like it. And I don't know that you have to give up the rest of your life to events that you could not have completely anticipated. Like, yeah, it's a royal family. You're going to live under a microscope, and there's protocols, and you might not like all of that, but maybe it's worse than she imagined. Is she a servant to the royal family for the rest of her life? I give her the opportunity to cut bait if she doesn't like it.
Well, I would say, one, no, she's not a servant to the royal family. If you look at the history over the last 20 years, the younger generation of the royal family has certainly changed the queen's mind in how she goes about doing certain things. Clearly, there were landmark issues that came up where the queen made mistakes and he had to fix those mistakes. One of them was when Diana died, and there was controversy about when she should have come back to London. This meeting yesterday is another mark that will go down in history, that the queen clearly wants this issue resolved as quickly as it can be resolved, both from a PR standpoint and because it's her personal family. And to your point, yes, Meghan does deserve a personal life. Meghan does deserve an opportunity to raise her family the way she wants to raise her family. But when you're a member of the royal family and you take an oath under God, and you can argue the fact that Harry didn't take an oath, he just happened to be born into that part of the royal family.
Yeah, it's always harder for him.
You know, yeah, it is harder for him, and he's not going to be king, so the path is not clear. So it seems to me that the real word is compromise. How do I keep my responsibilities to the royal family? How do I do the right thing for my wife and the right thing for my country? And there's got to be a balance. Now, what you don't know, and what I don't know, because from a royal watcher standpoint, we're guessing here, because they're very tight-lipped. They're very manipulative, and they're going to give you the information that they want to give you and leave out the parts that they don't want to give you. So when you saw yesterday the press release that came out from the Queen, she did not call them the Duke and Duchess of Sussex. She referred to her grandson. She referred to Meghan and Harry. So we don't know at this point whether they might lose their titles. So you don't really know what's going on. You don't really know, was this just a good PR move?
Right.
And they're going to work out the layers as they go along. But Meghan certainly, to your point, deserves an opportunity to live a great life and not to be scrutinized. And Harry will never forget that the press, in his mind, killed his mother.
Yeah, that's a point not lost on some of us. The Duke and Duchess of Sussex, this is from that Wall Street Journal story, say they want to break the mold. On their website, they speak of their desire for a new working model. They have already applied to trademark Sussex Royal, covering a host of items, including socks and greeting cards, struck me as a little bit beneath them, but whatever. Let's pick up a couple of phone lines. We'll start with Fran. You're on WGN. Fran, what can we do for you?
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment. I totally agree that maybe Harry is very much in tune with what the press has been doing to Meghan, everything with what happened to his mother. But beyond that, what I called for was the other day on Inside Edition, which I watch every day, you get little snippets here and there about things. And they had said through some reporter, and again, was I paying total attention? Of course not. That one of the newspapers or some newspaper in Britain was going to publicize the fact that they were going to move. And it hadn't come out yet, so that's why they jumped in and they said it first to the Queen that they wanted to do all the things that they want to do before the newspaper printed it. And maybe that's why it seems so quick and so whatever, for them to do what they did. But
Right. They
had heard that a newspaper was going to print it, and they wanted to get that story out before the newspaper did.
That's an interesting point, Fran. Had you heard about that, Fred?
Yeah, I did hear about that. So if you know that the story is going to be leaked to the press,
The
first thing you do, in my mind, is you go, it's not like it's not his grandmother. And so for all the articles that say he couldn't get to her, if it were an emergency and he needed to get to her, he could get to his father, Prince Charles, who could get to the Queen in 10 seconds and it wouldn't have come out in 10 minutes, or at least it wouldn't have looked like an uncoordinated disaster in how they went about doing this.
Fran, thank you for the call. It's a good point. Lots of calls. We've got less than a minute left. Mel said, Ron said, people forget that Harry is an heir to Diana's fortune. That is, they'll be taken care of. You mentioned that yourself. And Mel wanted to say something, too. Mel, you're on WGN. Hi.
Good morning, King John.
Hey.
And my question is, and I've been asking this question for 50 years, why do British people still recognize the royal blood when the royal blood was the meanest, toughest, ruthlessest people in England when they became the royal blood, and people still recognize them as royal?
Your thought about that, Fred?
Well, I'm thinking about it right now, and, you know, it's a good point, except if you look to the last 100 years and you look to the last 90 and you look to Queen Elizabeth, I don't think there are too many people that can argue that she hasn't done a really good job in generating income for other people, in being the perfect spokesperson for the UK. But there's clearly argument, you know, half the people are going to love the royals, half the people are going to not love the royals. But I would kind of just end in saying, one, that they generate a lot of money for charity, and two, the part that Harry and Meghan have to figure out, where they say we're only going to talk to certain reporters, is a crock. And the reason it's a crock is because they're public figures, they're part of an establishment, so you can't move to Canada and you can't move to the United States and say the UK reporters were too tough on us, because do you think if they moved to Chicago that the Chicago reporters are not going to be as tough on them? So I think they have to mature along the way. I think it's a hard thing to do. I would not want to be in their position, but it's a process, and we're going to watch this process play out.
Nice to talk to you. Gabby Road is the way you can hear more royal talk from Fred Weintraub and Company. It's nice to hear your voice this morning, Fred. Thanks for helping us out.
Nice to talk to you, John. Talk to you soon.